Okay, now, Pastor Myers, the last time I preached, you weren't here. It was during the Christmas play. It was 12 and a half minutes long. Not tonight, okay? Don't get excited. Don't get too happy. So I was sitting next to my brother right here in the front row, and he thought Pastor Myers was preaching, so he pulled out a set of notes, and he said, they gave us everything. They gave us his illustrations. They gave us everything. And I panicked because I said, first of all, I'm preaching, and number two, no one's supposed to have all my illustrations and everything. Sure enough, the ladies in the office printed my notes, and you have, some of your names are in here. I'm just kidding. No, they're not. I don't think I have any names in here. Nonetheless, I wouldn't want you to have everything that I have on here. And so I looked, and what had happened, I had printed one for myself. It got lost in the shuffle, and you happened to have it, thankfully. So good, good. We're just going to kind of go along here. I have really more notes than I should for 30 minutes, but I'm not planning on going longer than that. And so I think sticking to the notes more so than me taking a rabbit trail will help us to get what we need done here tonight. I like our theme for the year, as you see there. Firm foundation. Now, as you see, a firm foundation will keep our church strong 20, 30, 50 years from now. And I thank God for Pastor Myers, who's willing to emphasize keeping the foundation strong. Because if you know, if you have your thumb on what's going on, and even independent Baptist Christianity around our country, the foundations are just being eroded, really. And it's sad what's happening. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you don't reach the next generation by lowering the standards or by eroding the foundations. That's not how it works. You lose the next generation by doing that. And I'm thankful that we have a pastor that's willing to emphasize and keep strong the foundations that we have. If we're going to have a firm foundation, we must know what our foundations are and why they are important. Tonight, I'd like to talk about just one foundational principle, if you would, of our church. And that's the standards that we have. As a church, it's important we understand why we have the standards we have, because if we don't know why, then this is what it's going to be. It's going to be Pastor Meyer's standards. It's going to be, those are Brother Ross's standards. Those are Brother Joseph's standards. And they're a little bit off. They're a little bit right-wing. They're a little bit funny. They're a little bit weird. And if we don't understand why we have the standards that we have, then we will not embrace them. If we do not embrace them, very soon our standards as a church will drop and we will have a worldly church. Further, I think you have this here. If we don't explain the standards we have, I'm afraid another generation will become the leaders. Now, Pastor Myers, you addressed a couple of us as the younger staff. I don't know if you noticed at our staff Christmas party, but we still had yourself, not that you're older, you're more mature is what it is. But we had the more mature guys like Pastor Ray, Pastor Compa, Pastor Myers, Brother Ross. But then after that, it was like myself and Brother Chim. And then I looked around, and it was a bunch of rookies that we had just hired on staff. I said, man, I'm not as young as I used to be. And but if we don't teach and if we don't explain why we have the standards, then there's going to be another generation that comes after us. And they're already starting to take leadership positions. It's a simple fact. They will move in. They will not own the standards. And we will lose what we have here and what we've had for many, many years. We don't reach the next generation by losing or dropping or ignoring or failing to explain our standards. It's like this. We don't just have the standards we have for no reason, because it's definitely not to draw a crowd, okay? But it's like this. You say, oh, we're going to drop the standards so that we can get some fruit. It's like this. If I were to go out to an orchard, an apple orchard, and say, oh, there's fruit up there, I can't reach it. So I'm going to get a hack. I'm going to get a hacksaw. I'm going to get an axe, and I'm going to chop down the tree. It tips over. I get a bunch of fruit, that's fine. I got a bushel of fruit for this generation, but I lost generations to come. We don't lower the standards to reach the next generation. That's what happens. But tonight, I'd like to look at standards from two angles. You know, it is first an introduction. I want to look at what standards are. So what are they anyways? We talk about them. What are they? What's the definition of standards? Secondly, I just want to look at three, very practical, very, very practical, and there's actually more that we could have given, but not tonight. Very practical thoughts on standards and why we as a church have the standards we have. Lord willing, they will help us to understand as a church why we hold the standards that we hold. Let's get right into it. What are standards anyways? Here it is. Below are three definitions of standards as found in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Now, when I study the Bible, I prepare lessons and stuff, I'll use that dictionary a lot. I think it has all the biblical words, and so even some of the obscure words, you can look them up. And so, 1828 dictionary, three definitions of standards. Let's look at them in light of Scripture. Definition number one, what is a standard? The first one is an ensign of war, a staff with a flag or colors. So it's a sign, it's an emblem of war, or it's a flag. If I can get, James, can I have you help me out, please? Do we have the American flag? We do. Can you grab that real quick and just stand over here? Quick, if you could. Here it is. So first definition, it's an ensign of war, it's an emblem, it's a staff with a flag or colors. Here's what this definition is. This standard identifies who I am. Go ahead, you just hold it right there. Thank you. Who I am, if you're filling in the blanks. For sake of illustration, we understand this is an American flag. Now, I do believe we ought to respect the flag, and I would stand for the national anthem. That's just me. I would. I think people have, even in my family, have bled and died for that. I think there's a time to protest. It's not the time. But that's beside the point. I said if I take rabbit trails, then we won't finish on time, so I'll stay away from that. However, this is an American flag. And as Americans, when we look at the flag, we say, that's who I am. That's who I am. And I'm not going to have us come up, but there's the Christian flag. And we that are Christians, we identify under the banner of the cross. That's who I am. I'm a Christian. I look at that flag, I see that's who I am. I'm an American. Let's look here. Numbers 152. That word standard there is found in Scripture. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, every man by his own standard throughout his host. And so this word standard, it was a sign, it was a flag, it was an emblem. For instance, you know people identify themselves by either what they wear or what sign they, for instance, if you were to go over Wardlow here, I think it's Wardlow, maybe it's Willow, there's the Buddhist temple, right? I don't remember where it is, but it's pretty big size here. It's also one north in the Bixby area. And they have the flag that has the seven colors of Buddhism. That represents when Buddha was allegedly enlightened and all that kind of stuff. And as a Buddhist, they would look at that flag and they'd say, that's who I am. That's how I am identified as a Buddhist, by that. I think of the UN. We'll keep our thoughts to ourselves. But, you know, when our soldiers and all the other nation soldiers get together, when they go out for Peace Corps or whatever it is, they will wear the UN flag or the emblem, and they go out, they're saying, we are from the UN. We're keeping peace, allegedly, from the UN. This is who I am. We won't talk about the sodomites and the rainbow, but we won't go there. We could go on and on, but all throughout society, people that would say we're emo or we're gothic or whatever, you know what they are because they identify with a certain color. What color is that? Black, right? Okay. You know that because that's their standard. That's their identifying mark. They say, this is who we are by how we dress. This is who we are by what flag we march under. So the first standard is an ensign of war, a staff with flag or colors. Now, there's a second one. There's a second one here. Let me get here. Definition number two. So this first standard identifies who I am. It's who I am. I march with that sign. I march with those colors. I identify myself with this group of people by this. Definition number two is this. That which is established as a rule or model, here it is, by the authority of public opinion. The authority of public opinion or respectable or allegedly respectable opinions or by custom or general consent, as writings, which are admitted to be the standard of style and taste. Now, in light of God's word, the second definition of standards identifies who the world wants me to be. George, can I have you help me out? You can finish writing that down later. You'll probably be up here for a little bit. Who the world wants me to be. The world has established standards for everything, right? They have. The world has established standards as far as what to live for. Now, when the world identifies a person's worth, they identify it by, now you say, why do you have all ones? Because I asked my wife for 20, she said no, she was a little bit cheap, she only gave me ones, but no, that's all I had on me. The world identifies worth by how much money you have. Go ahead and hold that up. The world identifies, they say the standard for worth is money that you have. The standard for goals is what? Probably a paid off mortgage. And I was going to buy a house. George knows. You helped me pick it out. It was like $30. I'm too cheap. I said, no, we're not going to have the house. So you imagine a house in your head right now, okay? Paid off mortgage, Dave Ramsey cutting it up, all that kind of stuff. But a house. For status, the standard for status in the world, you know it. If you work in the secular workplace, their standard for status is, how do I drive in? I don't know if this is a Camaro or a Mustang. I think it's a hybrid. It's from Walmart, so it's probably half and half, all right? So go ahead and hold that. The world says the standard for status is, what kind of a car do I drive? The world has a standard for investment. Now, God would tell us, invest in things above. What does the world say? Invest all your money that you can in your 401k. The world has status in regards to, guys, the type of girl to get, and go ahead and hold that up, okay? Believe it or not, that is the most modest Barbie that they had at Walmart, okay? So when we're done, George, I'll take the car, I'll give that to my son, and I have the remote in the office. You can hang on to the Barbie because my daughter's not having that. But they have a standard. What type of girl do you look for? How do you get her? The world has a standard about that. The world has its own standard about music and what kind of music is acceptable. Go ahead and hold that. The world has status about technology. Again, you say, why don't you have a nicer iPhone? This is all my wife would let me use. It's a nice bling. The world has standards about what's acceptable for technology and what we do with technology. The world standard says you get status, you get notoriety, you get fame by the accolades and the awards that you get, whether it's through sports or whether it's at the workplace. That's how your self-worth is measured in the world. It's by the car, it's by the tech, it's by the music, it's by your worth. That's the world standard. The world has a general consensus, popular public opinion. They say that's the standard. That's the second definition right there, the world standard. Now, the last time, of course, we're not going to talk too much about standards in dress. Now, we will mention it a little bit, but the last time I did an illustration similar to this, George, I won't do this, I pulled out a pair of skinny jeans, and I made a guy wear skinny jeans that, they're already skinny, but they were smaller than his size. It was a struggle. Where's Frank? Frank, where you at? That was embarrassing. I know, I shouldn't have done it. And I just saw him, like, sucking in, trying to button them up. It was bad. It was. We won't do that to you, George. We won't do that. I'll leave them right in here. They're not here. But what does the Bible say about this? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Moving along quickly. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And by the way, we can be spoiled as Christians through philosophy. Got to be careful. Fox News has a standard of philosophy. CNN has a standard of philosophy. The talk radio shows have a standard for philosophy. The guys and the ladies at the workplace, they have a standard of philosophy. Be careful. YouTube. A lot of philosophizing going on there. And vain deceit. After the traditions of men, after the, and this is the word I want us to get, the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You say, what are rudiments? Rudiments are, I think you have a blank here, rudiments are the basics. The basics. What society, what the world thinks is right or the norm or the standard. We need to be careful, the Bible says. We can be spoiled by the things that the world just, everyone in society says, well, that's just the basics. Everybody does it that way. Everybody talks like that. Everybody lives for that. Everybody dresses like that. Everybody thinks like that. And the Bible says that we can be spoiled. We can be ruined as Christians if we take the rudiments, the basics, the standards that the world says, oh, that's just okay. Definition number two. I'm not going to talk about abortion's a rudiment. Homosexual marriage is a rudiment. What the world says is modest and is decent is a rudiment. What they say is appropriate for dating and all necking and petting, all that, that's a rudiment. The gender junk, that's a rudiment. The dress, the talk, the pursuits, those are all rudiments. The Bible says be careful. As God's people, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We got to be careful that those rudiments do not creep in and that we take them and are not spoiled by them. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We'll refer back to that in a moment. Number three. The first definition, it's who I am. The second definition is who the world wants me to be. The third definition is this. Can I have you come up here? Just bring your Bible, please. That which is established by, here's the word, sovereign, referring to God, sovereign power, on that side, please, as a rule or measure by which, here it is, by which others are to be adjusted. That's God's standard. Here it is. This standard identifies who God wants me to be. So the first standard identifies who I am. That's, I say this is who I am. Second standard is, this is who the world wants me to be. Third definition is, this is who God wants me to be. And we'll use the Bible as the illustration for that. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What does grace teach us that we ought to do? What's God's standard? Here it is. Denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look at 1 Peter 1:16. It is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, it's important to realize this. I'm going to pick up the pace and I'll slow down right at the end. It's important to realize, I hope we can get this. I know Thursday nights we have a long day of work and this might be a lot of information. It's important to realize that definition number one, who I am, is a result of my confirmation or conforming to either definitions number two or three. I'm going to say that again. Definition number one, the standards to which I adhere, who I am, is a result of me conforming to the standards of definition number two or definition number three. Now that I have that said, you guys can put those away and we'll get into three simple thoughts on standards. Here we go. Number one, you guys are good. Thank you. George, you can take the Barbie and leave the car for me. He decided against it. He left it up here. Good. My wife can have her iPhone 4S back and her $4. Let's examine just a couple thoughts about standards. Now that we know there's who I am, there's who the world wants me to be, there's who God wants me to be, let's just look at three simple thoughts here and we'll be done. Number one, understand that everybody has standards and everybody conforms to something or somebody. And here's the argument against standards many times. A lot of people will say, oh, I just don't believe in standards. I don't have standards. No. Everybody has standards. And everybody conforms to something or to somebody. The world has standards. I think of just dress standards in general, and we're going to age some of you here. I don't think back because I wasn't alive, but I was going to say my wife was, I wasn't. She wasn't. I don't want to sleep on the sofa tonight. Our sofa's really teeny. But back in the 70s, think of bell bottoms, right? That was acceptable. Now, I don't know how it was acceptable, but it was. That was a standard. It was a rudiment. It was okay. It was generally accepted in society. But then it went from bell bottoms to, we'll just fast forward. We won't talk about the 80s, but we go into the 90s when I was growing up, and I would remember. How many of you remember the baggy, the Hauser pants? How many of you remember that? Like you take three steps, your pants didn't move, just you did, okay? You know I'm talking about? You go, they do the breakdancing, and then it's like kites flying all around and all that kind of stuff in the 90s. That was a standard. Then you fast forward a little bit later in the 90s, you started having faded pants. Now, we're not going to talk about where that came from, but it came from Hollywood and it came from a crowd that we would definitely not associate with. But faded pants. Then ripped pants. You know, there was a time where we came home, we had rips in our trousers and our parents were not happy with us. Then you go pay big money. You know, in the 90s and early 2000s, you paid big money to have pants that were already ripped. That was a standard. I skipped one. We won't even talk about the tie-dye shirts, but that's like way back. But that was a standard. Think about hairstyles. The world has standards. Oh, we don't have standards. Oh, yes, you do. And you do conform to somebody or to something. Hairstyles. It went from long hair in the 70s to the shaved RoboCop style in the 80s to when I was growing up, I was a young teenager. They had the crazy spiked hair. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't know how they did that, but it was way out there. Then they went to wear mohawks and colored hair. And then I don't know if you all remember, talking to those of you that are maybe around my age, maybe a little older, a little younger, the Dragon Ball Z hairstyle. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I know I get some of you talking, all right? You're reliving right now. I know. That would have been kind of in my time. But then the 90s, then there was the comb over, which is kind of popular right now, right? You get it shaved right here and then just you kind of comb it over. It's hilarious. One of the guys I said, and he was doing something that was, we wouldn't say it's conservative hairstyle. Anyways, I said, well, why don't you just, this is about 8 years ago. I said, why don't you just, you know, comb your hair, look conservative. You know, you're younger, you want to be a leader. Why don't you just have a conservative hairstyle? There's nothing biblical about it, but I said, why don't you just look conservative? He said, I just don't look good with a comb over. As soon as it was popular, he got it. And I said, okay, we see where you judge what looks good on you by. But skirts, I mean, there was a time when mini skirts were unthinkable, even in the world. I mean, pre-60s, pre-sexual revolution, anybody, seriously, sometime you ought to go to the school office and you ought to look at the public school dress standards for the public school unsaved teachers. It's a lot higher standards than honestly what Christians all over the country would dress on any given church night. It is. Mini skirts, and there are maxi skirts, right? And there are high skirts, and there are low skirts. The world's standards change, but the world has standards, and people in the world do conform to standards. Speech. You have standards of speech. It's amazing how, oh, that's fire. I guess that's what it is right now, right? Man, that thing is fire, and you see all the hashtags and all that kind of stuff. And now I guess there's one, man, that's lava. I guess that's like fire, but hotter, I guess. But it's amazing how you can have fire, lava, hot, cool, and sweet, and it all means the same thing. But it's a standard, and the world says that's fine. That's what it means. Man, hang loose, and once you hang loose, then you're tight, and it means the same thing, right? Then it's just, you could go on and on and on. They have standards for speech. Morals. I wish I had time to talk about morals and standards, but man, even in the world, man, the morality in the world, they used to have morals. Andy Griffith and Leave It to Beaver used to be primetime. Look what they have today. Oh, my soul. Music. Standards for sexuality. I heard recently on one of the news stations, there's 57, literally, Pastor Myers, 57 different gender types. And they're saying, well, if that's what we have in the country, we ought to have them all represented in Congress. God forbid. God forbid. But that's a standard. That's something that back in the day we would look at and we would say, you are crazy. Anyone, whether Republican, Democrat, left, right, middle, whatever you are, you would look just a few years back and you would say, that is totally crazy. But now it's becoming a rudiment, a standard that's widely accepted. It's a standard. Companies have standards. I'm not going to give too many illustrations here. But police departments, the armed forces, they have standards. They have high standards. Your workplace has standards. You say, well, what if the coworker doesn't want to adhere to the standards of the workplace? Then he's no longer your coworker. Churches have standards. Churches have standards. Some churches play traditional hymns, traditional music. And if we're not careful and we adapt the world's standards, we've heard, I saw it. I saw the clip of a church playing Highway to Hell in their church service. I saw a Bible college that had the group Evanescence, which if you know anything about that group, that is not a group you have in a church or a Bible college or anywhere. They had Evanescence playing for their Winterfest thing. There's standards. Everyone has standards, and everyone's conforming to something or someone. Alcohol standards. There are churches like us that say, look not on the wine when it is red. There are churches like us that say, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever's deceived thereby is not wise. Then there's the church up north, where the pastor said, we're going to have a keg party, you know, and he called Jesus a bartender. Everyone has standards, and everyone's conforming to somewhere on that spectrum of standards. I'm not going to talk, let's skip a couple things here. Remember that everyone has standards, everyone conforms. That's why as churches and as families and as individuals, it's a good question to ask ourselves. Here it is. The question to ask ourselves is this: where are we getting our standards? Where are our teens getting that new slang? Where are they getting that new dress? I remember, and there's nothing, again, anti-biblical about it, but you remember Lance Armstrong when he had the, this is before he got caught for doping, but when he had all the, everyone was wearing Livestrong, the yellow, right? And then it went purple and black, and they were supposed to mean different things. You know, my dad came in one day. I'm glad my dad would kind of keep all the fads and standards away from us. Because teenagers, you know why you're so insecure? You're trying to keep up with fads and standards that change all the time. She's adhere to God's standards. They never change. You'll be secure. But my dad wouldn't let us get all caught up in all the fads and all that kind of stuff. He's like, Doc, what is that? What is that? What's this new stuff you're doing? What's this new talk? We don't talk like that. We're Christians. But everyone conforms to some kind of standards. Where are we getting our thinking from? Where are we getting our what we live for from? And what are we living for? And then ask ourselves the question, where do I get that from? Pastor Myers talks about the colored lights. I'm not so much concerned about the colored lights, though I am, as where are we getting those colored lights from? Are we getting them from definition number 2 or definition number 3? From God or from what the world tells me is acceptable? It's all about two words. I'm going to not explain this, identification and association. Another question is, where are we going to draw the line? Where are we going to draw the line? We should not use the world as a measuring stick for our standards, because the Bible says that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, right? Okay? I mean, there was a time on television where Elvis, and I think Pastor Myers mentioned it recently, he was on the Ed Sullivan Show. That would only mean something to a couple of, I was going to say us, not me, only because I've studied it. A couple of you, okay? The Ed Sullivan Show, and they refused to film him. This is prime public TV in America. They refused to film him from the waist down because they said the way he gyrates back and forth, that's sexual, that's inappropriate, and we will not show that to our viewers. Man, look what they have today. Look at some of the Disney princesses and the way they gyrate and the way they dance and the way they do that. And here's the problem. To us, a lot of stuff that was never, ever, ever acceptable in the world, it's acceptable to God's people. You know why? Because we use the world as a measuring stick for our standards as opposed to definition number 3, what God said our standard is supposed to be. I want to challenge us as a church, let's keep the standard high. Let's use definition number 3. What's God's standard? Because if we use the world as a standard, evil men, seducers, the world gets worse and worse and worse. And if we're using them as a measuring stick, we're going to get worse and worse and worse. And Christians of 50 years ago will look at us and they'll say, oh my soul, the world would have never been there. But we use the world's standard as our standard. Let's be careful about that. And we can be desensitized in our dress, our talk, our entertainment, our church services, and in our homes. Number two, got to move quickly. Number 2, why do we have standards? Because Jesus called us to a higher standard. People say we're under grace. I'm going to skip a lot of stuff here, but can I say this? When Jesus came and instituted grace, he gave us a whole higher standard, not a lower one. If we study how the early Baptists and the early church fathers lived, there was no sloppy, agape, great, greasy, great. There's none of that stuff going on. Let's see here. What are we? Matthew chapter 5:21. Let's not read it, but you have it there. Take it home. You can read it if you don't believe me. Jesus said, under the law, it was like this. He says, but I say unto you. He said, before, you weren't supposed to commit adultery. He said, under grace, my teaching, don't even think on her like that. That's God's standard. When Jesus Christ came, he instituted a higher standard. Let's look here further. First Peter tells us that our standard is be holy, for I am holy. Man, us being holy like a holy God is a pretty high standard. When my dad and I would talk about standards and legalism and all that kind of stuff, my dad would say, here's a simple question to ask anybody. Okay, that's fine. What's holiness? I don't have to define it for you. You define it. What's holiness? Think of a holy God, a thrice holy God, holy, 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 high and lifted up, separated, not a spot of iniquity on him, and we're supposed to be like that. Then you can answer for yourself what is holiness as a standard for our living. So I've got to ask myself, if that's my standard, when I'm watching this with my family, is that holy? When I'm listening to that, is that holy? When I'm putting that on, is that holy? And let's go to number 3. Let's go to number 3. A couple minutes and we'll be done. Finally, why do we have standards? Because our standards are here to help us to keep our convictions. Here it is. What's a conviction? A conviction is something that we strongly believe to be right or wrong from the Word of God. That's a conviction. If you break it, you've sinned. A standard, it might not necessarily be in black and white in God's Word, but a standard is those things that we put in place to help us to keep our standards, our convictions. We have standards to keep us from staying close to sin. I have a whole list here that I'm not going to go into it. But I could talk about our entertainment. Man, there are, let's just be honest. There are certain series, there are certain, I, look, I, I could talk about Marvel and I could talk about those things, but I'll lose the whole crowd and I won't be invited back. But if I know, and I'm glad my dad had a standard in our home, we're just not going to have television. I'm not saying that's totally biblical. I'm not saying that. That's, some people would say that's extreme, and I might agree with you. But I'll tell you this. If I have a hunch that maybe there's going to be a kissing scene, or maybe there's going to be an immoral scene, or maybe there's going to be words that are not according to definition number three, they're according to definition number two. The world says it's acceptable, but God says, be holy for I'm holy. If I have a hunch that maybe that's going to be in there, what I'm going to do, what I hope we would do, is I hope that we would have a standard that just says, I'm not going to watch that. Is watching that in and of itself a sin? No. But putting something wicked before my eyes is a sin. So I have a standard that says, I'm not going to watch something that might have that, to keep me from breaking my conviction, that says, I won't set something wicked before my eyes. Does that make sense? Our standards might not necessarily be that sinful. And so that's where we can get into an argument. We're not going to get into an argument. But that's where we can kind of tote the fence there. Let's move on. Technology. Giving a child a cell phone, it's not sin. And if you do it, you're not sinning. But you're giving them opportunity to sin. That's what you're doing. And so we have standards in place that says, look, we say that it's not wise to give your children access to, like my dad used to say, an adult bookstore on that device or all that type of field. We're not going to do that. The standard says, I'm not going to give them that. Is that a sin? No, but it keeps them from breaking a conviction that says, I'm not going to look at that stuff or communicate that stuff, which is sin. Does that make sense? That's the difference between a standard and a conviction. Modesty. Oh, my soul. It's creeping in. I've got 10 seconds left. Separation, our pursuits and our desires. Pastor Myers gave this illustration, and I'll close, many times. There was a king who, he wanted to hire a horse rider, a chariot rider, to transport him around. He came to him and he said, I want to know how close you can get when you ride. How close do you get, can you get from the edge of the cliff? The first one wanted to kind of show off, and so he got close, real close to the cliff, just within a couple inches. Or about 6 inches, something like that. It's pretty good, okay. The next guy came, and he wanted to really show off to the king. So he got right at the edge of the cliff. Any little slip, it could have gone down. The third one, he came up, and he said, King, this is how I ride. I'm about that far from the cliff because I don't want something to go wrong, and we fall off the cliff, you and I. Now, if you look, God's people had God's presence in the Old Testament. They literally had God come down and speak to them. And because they weren't careful, because they allowed the world's influence to influence them, it only took one generation to lose everything that they had. And we think we can toy around with the standards of the world, and it's not going to affect us. I want to ask us, let's not buck, let's not argue with the standards that we have. Let's realize the standards are there to help us to keep our convictions so that we have a holy church with high standards that pleases God. And I believe this, I have this at the end here. If we have a church that has high standards, but we stay humble, I believe there will be less sin in the church, less heartache, and we'll be more pleasing to God. Let's stand together and let's pray.